I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I am thankful to be here. I'm encouraged with what we've already heard. I just want to say that I have definitely have needs in my life, the areas of wisdom and all those things. I feel like God is still teaching me many things, and I want to draw from His Word and from you brothers in my walk as we strive together. I'd just like to bow for a word of prayer this morning. Dear Father, we come before you. We want to thank you for this new day that you've given. We want to thank you for another year that you've allowed us to experience, Lord. Just want to thank you for your patience with us and your care for us in providing us with so many rich blessings. And we want to thank you for the congregation here that we can be a part of. We're thankful for many blessings that we experience through even this that we take for granted, Lord. Do ask that you would bless the remainder of this service. I pray especially that you would help me to only say those things which would be pleasing to you, and that you be glorified, Lord, in all that is said or done. We ask that you'd receive all glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I was asked to share, and I've been meditating on what God would have me to share on this morning. And there's been a topic or something that's been on my mind for some time, and I pondered whether to share it now or what God had for me, but it did seem like that's what God was showing me here. God has been showing me this in my life, and I want to say that first off, that I feel like there's much room in my own heart to grow in this area that we want to speak on. The area that I would like to talk about has to do with our relationships. And if I had to give a title to it, I would simply phrase it as a question. How much do I value my brother? Or I want to say sister in this case as well. How much do I value my brother or my sister? I was looking at what does the word value mean. I think most of us would have an idea. It has to do with worth. How much worth do I place on my brother or my sister? Value, we tend to look at objects or things today as what we place our value on. But how much do we value our relationships, especially our brother or sister in the congregation or in the greater congregation also? And so we want to look at that some this morning. We want to draw some examples from physical relationships. And we want to also draw from some practical examples maybe that we could use as well. So this morning, most of us are part of a family this morning, and so we are familiar with family relationships. And we have most likely have siblings. We most likely have a father and a mother. And hey, I was considering that this morning. That is what unites us as families, is we are all blood relatives. Now, we are also going to talk a little more about there are other types of family relationships, such as adoption and those sort of senses. And there's many broken relationships in the world around us. We see many children who have only live with one parent or such like. And that is not, I don't believe that is what God intended to begin with. But He had in mind a family unit as a way to help children to grow up. As an infant, we need our family for survival. If you think about an infant that's born without a family or a parent to care for it, it would not survive. It would only be, or you could say someone else coming along, you know, that there will be those exceptions as well. But we need our family. As we grow older, our family teaches us how to live in society. Think of children growing up. That's is an important aspect. As children watch their parents interact, they learn how to interact with the rest of society. As we grow old, we need our family to help us with our daily needs. You know, I can't imagine being someone with no friends, no one to look out for us as we grow old. That's a very bleak outlook on life, if we think of it in that sense. And when it comes time for us to die, we need family or friends to be around us and to take care of us, to bury us. You know, we need, in a very practical, physical way, we need family and we need friends. I had to think of the relationship of Jesus and his Father. Jesus and the Father were one, it says. And I think of Jesus as he lived on earth. He always did the things that pleased his Father. We want to transition a little bit from just looking at the physical family to looking at this relationship of Jesus and his Father. I would like to read whole chapter of Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2 is a real blessing as I read it, and we want to draw some things from it this morning. I will read it fairly quickly here. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's a beautiful passage there. And I want to draw our attention to, especially to a couple verses here. Verse 13, we were just talking some about the relationship of Jesus and his Father. Verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And this is a beautiful picture here. We are brought in, we are brought close through the blood of Christ into this family of God, you could say. And I don't know what that does to you this morning, but knowing that I am a Gentile, I am lost without Christ, being brought into that family of God is a marvelous thought. It says in verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." It's just amazing. So this thought came to me, we are to be strangers and pilgrims on this earth, but we used to be strangers and pilgrims to the family of God. And I truly believe if we're not strangers and pilgrims on this earth, most likely we're not living according to verse 19. We're not fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I think those two, there's a clear contrast, you could say, between those two, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. I trust that we are, I'm sorry, strangers and pilgrims on this earth, fellow citizens with the saints. Amen. I think that we need to be reminded of these things. I know I do. Here we see that the blood of Jesus has brought us into the household of God. By faith in the blood of Jesus, we are a part of God's family. And it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see here that if God is our Father, then we are a brother to Jesus Christ, according to Scripture. Now that there, sometimes I even struggle saying that sometimes, because we're not necessarily equal with Him, but yet we're in that same position with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, turn over to Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." And here we see how this is done. We are adopted. We are adopted as children by Jesus Christ to the good pleasure of His will. This pleased God for us to be adopted in this way. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4, a couple verses here. Verses 4 through 7. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now here we see it's taken another step further yet. If we're no longer servants, we're sons. And if we're sons, then we're heirs. I don't know. My heart was just overwhelmed as I considered some of these thoughts again. We are heirs of grace. Through adoption, we have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. What is your response when you hear these words of promise? What is our heart's response? And when you're sitting here together with our brothers and our sisters, We are heirs together of the grace of God. This, I believe, is what must unite us as brothers and sisters, is this love of God, this promise of being sons and daughters of God. And as we realize that, I truly believe that that is one of the most powerful things that can unite us, is when we begin to understand what we have been and where, what we are in Jesus Christ. We have one Father, and we have many brothers and sisters, according to Matthew 12. Let's turn over and read a couple of verses there in Matthew chapter 12. And I want to say this is by no means a conclusive thought here. There's much more that could be added to this. But here we read what Jesus, or who Jesus considers to be his brothers and sisters. Verse 47 through 50. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, I don't believe that Jesus was denying his earthly family, but in this sense, he was teaching us a lesson. He wanted to teach us those that will do God's will are going to be God's children. And heirs, if we are children of God, then we become heirs as well. We want to read a couple verses concerning that. In Romans chapter 8, I have a number of references. You don't have to turn to them all. But Romans chapter 8, verse starting in verse 14. Through 17, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That being justified by his grace. His grace is what justifies us. And yet, one more here in James 2, verse 5. A lot of these are very familiar scriptures to us. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Poor of this world. I think we heard a little bit from Joe this morning about some of these things. It's not the wisdom of this world that God is looking for. It's the poor of this world. What does that mean? But rich in faith. Those will be the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. As we heard here, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But I also want to say we are promised heirs. We are promised to be heirs. But yet, I want us to think about it this morning. We are not entitled. There is nothing that we have done that we stand in this and glory in this. It is not of works of righteousness which we have done, but it is by the precious blood of Christ. We live in a very entitled society today. People think they deserve many things. This is not something that we deserve, but it is only God's grace towards us and His boundless love. We dare not lose the wonder of being called the children of God. Romans chapter 9, verse 26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. This brings me to the thoughts that God has been doing in my the things that God has been doing in my own heart, the thoughts that I've been pondering. And as we consider what we've just talked about here, our relationship, our standing in Christ as Christians today, this brings me to the question of how much do I value my brother? So now we are heirs together of the grace of life, and we stand together shoulder to shoulder at times in our work and in our life here, and we're heirs together. How do I view my brother? You know, as I considered, when we think of Jesus, I think all of us would honor and respect Jesus if he was here in our midst physically. And I know that we all would. And I praise God for that. But we're heirs together. Our brothers and sisters sitting with us today. And I don't want to just make this conclusive in our congregation here, but I would like to focus somewhat on that this morning. How does that make us look at our brothers and sisters in our care for them and in our honor of them? You know, we have no problem honoring God or Jesus Christ. What about our brothers and sisters? We're also in the same family. You know, we're not. This is the family of God. We are heirs together in this. You know, as I was thinking, as we get close to people, we tend to see their faults more easily or clearly. The closer we get, we tend to see faults very quickly, especially in a physical family sense. We can very quickly tell all the problems of our siblings, or even in a marriage relationship, we can easily see faults. But you know, those faults were there all along. It's just the closer we get, the more interaction we have with them, the more clearly they come out. We also will quickly realize that it is much harder for me to value and appreciate my brother or sister when there is pride in my heart. When there's pride in my heart, I'm going to have a very difficult time honoring and respecting them as brothers and sisters in Christ the way that I should. Pride is always going to get in the way in our relationships. Pride will always put more value on myself than on others. It's just that way. It takes the Spirit of God in our hearts to be able to place our brother above myself. We can do it in a way that it may look like that's what we're doing, like we're giving honor. But deep down in our heart, if we have pride in our heart, it will not happen. And as Brother Joe was sharing, I had to think of that this morning. He was saying about how the physical things that we do, the outward things that we do, I can't word it exactly as he said, we can do in our flesh. But this is one thing I don't believe we can truly do in our flesh, in our own strength, is putting our brother above ourselves. I think it's the work of Jesus Christ in our heart that is going to enable us. I had to think also of what Aidan was sharing. And I had to think in this work here, God's kingdom is about all of us coming together and experiencing transformation. And he mentioned something about transformation, I think, when he was up here. And I had to think of that. That should be the goal of our relationships here, is that as we all come together, we can all experience transformation together and being changed more into the likeness of Christ. Putting others first is truly placing value on our brothers or sisters. Putting them first. I don't have a lot of practical application for this of how it actually should always look. But I believe in our heart we all know how we can put someone else ahead of ourselves. We need hearts as a little child. I had to think of our little children. I don't know of one of them that can hold a grudge for more than a minute or so. And I don't think we should necessarily be as little children in the way that they can sometimes squabble, but yet in the way that we can easily forgive, you know, and not hold grudges. And not, you know, if someone wrongs us, a minute later, we don't remember it. You know, we continue to go on as if that never happened. We need to be able to trust as a little child also. We tend to see what we are looking for in others. It's something that I considered as well. You know, if we look long enough at someone's life, we either deceive ourselves or then we're going to find something. And I'm sorry, my throat is not doing well. I have a little bit of a little example here. You probably wondered why I put these stones up here. But I'd like to consider these stones here this morning a little bit. I may ask for the lights out here in a little bit. So these stones up here, if you were to look at them, there is not a lot of difference that you're going to see in these stones. And so I don't want to draw away from the scripture and all that we were reading, but I do want to speak a little bit about this type of stone that I have up here. So a couple years ago, we went on a little family trip and we went up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I was very unaware of any sort of rock like this until we did a little looking before we left. So in 2017, there was a man, and I don't even have his name here, discovered a type of stone up mostly along the shores of Lake Superior. And this stone, its actual name is called a syenite rock. But most people up there know them as euperlites. And when we were up there, we had some fun as a family looking for these rocks. During the day, it's impossible to find them. They look like every other stone. But at night, if you get yourself a UV light, they're actually very interesting to go hunting for. So I would like to it's going to be difficult to see at this distance, but if you could shut some of the lights off, I would like to give us a little example here of these stones here. So these stones glow under UV light here in a way that a regular rock does not. So I don't know how easily it is to see that, but they They're actually quite easy to see when it's really dark outside and you go looking for them. We can turn the lights back on. But that got me to thinking, as I was considering, you know, as we walk past thousands and thousands of stones, thank you, son. We walk past thousands and thousands of stones. We don't see those during the day, and it is what's inside of these rocks is called fluorescent sodalite. So it does not glow except under UV light, ultraviolet light, and that reminded me of the passage there in 1 Peter. Maybe you were thinking about that already. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read that together here. Verses 3 through 5. We're just jumping in here. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And I'd like to consider us, each one of us this morning that is walking with Jesus Christ, as lively stones, as stones with something special in them. And I had to think, how do we view our brother or sister? Do we view them just as any other human being? Or is there something special in their lives that we cherish and we look for? We need to look for that spark or fire of our Lord Jesus in the heart of our brothers and sisters. Do I just see another person, or do I see my brother who is an heir together with me in the kingdom of God? I think that brings it a little closer home to us, what we're really here for. And you know, I don't want us to necessarily walk around inspecting one another, but yet sometimes we have to look for ways to appreciate our brother or sister. It takes an effort on our part at times. We must determine in our hearts to see the blessings and the good in others. If we don't do that, we're most likely going to default to seeing faults. It works that way. I trust we all know that we cannot make it without Jesus Christ. What about our brothers and sisters? How much do we rely on them? I believe we rely on them a lot more than we realize. But yet sometimes I think we fail to appreciate and honor them. I'm speaking for myself. We also will only be as united as we see our need for one another. And what I mean by this is, if we don't truly see our need for one another, we will become very self-sufficient, and it will be very difficult for us to unite behind a common goal. Here in 1 Peter, we were just there in chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now, this is speaking to the elders. But verse 4 caught my attention. I'm sorry, verse 3 there. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Do you ever think of that? That we are God's heritage? And so Jesus Christ has, through his blood, has brought us to God. We're now sons of God, and we are made His heritage. And I trust that we'll walk worthy of that, of being God's heritage. Heritage simply has to do with, I looked up the definition and I didn't write it down, but it has to do with an inheritance. But it often has to do with something that's more like a property type of thing almost, instead of just maybe money. But we're God's heritage. We're God's property, and He's trying to pour His Spirit into our life and perfect us so that we can be made into His image. Another thought that I had was, what will death or separation show us about how much I need others? And I had to consider that when someone passes, especially if you're close to that person, suddenly you really realize how much you miss them. But it seems like when we're living together, we don't appreciate each other as much as we should, or what death or separation will do. Death often reveals very quickly their real value to us, or what really was important. But why can't we always recognize it before? Maybe look at each other in a new light. Maybe it's time for us to turn our UV light on and see what really is special about our brothers and sisters, and cherish them in those ways. And I just want to say, this doesn't draw away from our response to the people who are not in God's kingdom. We should still be a blessing to others. But as we're walking past, let's use this example again, as we're walking past all these stones in our life, so to speak, we're all stones, what do we see of our brothers and sisters? Do they catch our eye? Do they light a spark in our own heart as we interact with them? Do I see what God values in the heart of my brother? I think that is something that God saw us while we were yet Gentiles and alienated. God saw something there. And He had a vision and a plan to redeem us. But this is what's challenging to my own heart. Do I see the potential in others? You know, do I see what could be there? You know, maybe we have a rock that doesn't glow, but do we see the potential of another soul that could be brought into God's kingdom? And I'm speaking to myself, brothers. What I value in this life will affect what I value in my brother. And as you consider that with me, the things that I put the highest priority in my life, that's the thing that I'm going to see in my brother as important. And if it's the things of this world, then I'm going to struggle valuing the gifts in my brother and what he can contribute to the brotherhood, for instance. And I think that has a tremendous amount. The posture of my heart has a tremendous amount to do with the value that I see in my brother, is the posture of my heart. I'd like to turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." So here I see a picture of a brotherhood who is walking along, and as they see a need, They're there to bear it up. And as they see someone stumble or fall, they're there to help. And I think we can learn something from this. By verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And I think when you look through Scripture, you will see time and time again where God resists the proud, where God resists the ones who are able to do it by themselves, where God will stand against that heart. He is looking for a heart that is there to lift up and promote others above himself. And so that's the burden of my heart this morning, is that we could together endeavor to find ways to find blessings, to find ways in which we can encourage and ways in which we can build up. And I think it begins with these little simple things of areas of where I can see the value, I can see the potential in my brothers and sisters. How much worth, how much value do I place on others? Or is pride, does pride have a prominent hold in my life? And the scary thing is, many times when pride is in our life, we can't see it. It has a way of blinding our eyes to reality. It has a way of deceiving us. And Brother Joe's example there of deception this morning is a very clear example of what pride can do in our heart. When we begin to think so highly of ourselves that we no longer hold ourselves up to this standard. We no longer think that this actually applies to me, to my life. That's a very scary place to be. Pride is probably one of the biggest. It probably causes some of the most destruction in a church and in a brotherhood, is when pride comes in. So I just want to leave you with these thoughts as lively stones together, building up a spiritual house together. Do we see the value of each one of my brothers in this process of building together, building this house together? And can I be placed right next to any one of my brothers in this wall, if we consider it that way, and be perfectly content to be mortared right in there with them and build up this house together? And so I trust that this is an encouragement and not a rebuke. That was not what I intended. I trust that we are all doing this already, but I just want to encourage our hearts together in this. And if you get an opportunity to go to Michigan, it's a worthwhile experience. It's very enjoyable. So I want to leave those thoughts with you, and may God bless you.